Our first question was, you know, where do we go if there's a tornado warning? And the guy at the apartment looked at us like, we don't even have tornado sirens here. And we were terrified that, you know, we just knew a tornado was going to come. We didn't know where we would go, but we survived, I guess. One of the most recent occasions I've had to take cover from a storm was when I was still a student at Harding. Morgan was with me. She'll remember this. We were at what was meant to be a lovely evening at a formal with my social club. We were supposed to be at the country club, and I don't even remember really what the theme was. It had some cool theme, but I think everyone who was there that night just remembers it as tornado formal. We spent most of the evening trying to go get food in between tornado warnings, but most of the night was spent huddled together in one of the two bathrooms, singing songs to try and distract ourselves, and spending the rest of that time in prayer. It's a night I won't forget, both because of the experience I shared with my brothers and sisters there at Harding, but also just the threat that we felt. The chaos that was around us, and that we were able to see in places when we left that place. Here just a few weeks ago, we experienced a chaotic storm that can still be felt just on the drive here this morning. There's still debris and trees down that you can see that are still being cleaned up from this chaotic storm that many of you may have had to take shelter from. So maybe you can relate to the feelings and concerns and our story today. The story this week begins with Jesus on a boat. He's just finished teaching in parables that we talked about last week, and I imagine that he must be exhausted from this long teaching session. Finding himself already in a boat with his disciples, he tells them to take the boat across the Sea of Galilee so they can get away from the crowds. As the boat pulls away, from those who came to hear Jesus, he takes the opportunity to lie down inside the boat and lets the waves rock him to sleep so he can get some much-needed rest. And as you can read in verse 37, a storm came. The Sea of Galilee is well known for these sudden storms. I've never been myself, but I've had friends who were able to travel abroad and have visited the Sea of Galilee, and they've shown me pictures and told me stories about how the sea is surrounded by mountains, and it kind of creates this bowl effect. So it wouldn't be unusual, especially during Jesus' time, for a group of sailors, a group of fishermen, to get into a boat on a nice, sunny, calm day, smooth sailing, only to get in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and find themselves surrounded by dark clouds, tall waves, and heavy winds. Today, it's a little bit easier to avoid that with cell phones and being able to check the weather like we can, but unfortunately for Jesus and his crew, as far as I know, cell phones had not been invented yet, and they didn't have that option. So we get to the first of two problems that we're going to look at this morning. And that first problem is a physical problem. It's the chaotic storm. And this was a scary situation, I'm sure. The circumstances were not favorable, and it must have been challenging to keep this fishing boat afloat. It was an actual situation, a physical problem, a storm. Easy to wrap our minds around. Maybe we haven't experienced the exact situation. Maybe you haven't been on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. Now I feel like maybe you're going to have that song stuck in your head, Sea of Galilee. Lance knows it for Children's Church, I'm sure. But it's easy for us to wrap our minds around because each of us at one point in our lives has probably had to take cover from some kind of chaotic storm. But the second problem that we're going to focus on a little bit more is a spiritual problem. And that's that Jesus is asleep inside the boat on a pillow. We see that in verse 38. I've always found it humorous that Mark even includes this. I grew up wondering why is it so important that Mark would include this little tidbit of information, right? That Jesus is laying down on a pillow inside the boat. That just seemed very random to me, and I didn't really understand that. But the more I've read this passage, and the more I've read about this passage, what others have had to say, the more I understand why this is so important to the story, why he includes it. See, the tension in this story, the conflict that drives this story forward, it's not about the physical problem. It's not about the storm on the Sea of Galilee. The big conflict here, the big problem in this story is the fact that Jesus is asleep, and it's about how the disciples handle that. I mean, put yourself in the disciples' position. Can you imagine it? The disciples are in a place where they are fearful for their lives. The situation is out of their control. The ship looks like it could sink and they could drown. And there's Jesus asleep on a cushion inside the boat. And they've seen him heal people. They've seen him cast demons out of people. He seems to always be there for people to support them when they need it. And so they react. They say, "We're going to die in this storm, but obviously you don't care." Right? They wake him up suddenly. They shake him awake, I imagine, and I can imagine them yelling, partly because the storm is so loud and around them, but I imagine they're especially yelling at him because they are angry, right? They're upset. And they say, "We are going to die. Don't you care?" That's a powerful thing to say to your teacher. Can't imagine saying that to one of my teachers. But fear makes us do some stupid and hurtful things. Dr. Jim Shaddix preaches a great sermon on this topic. And I like the way he put it. I think I have a slide for this. Yeah. He says, "They came up against a situation in which he, Jesus, was not acting like they thought he ought to be acting. He was not doing what they thought he ought to be doing. So they lashed out at him, and their frustration was born in a disappointment over his passivity to their situation. But it evolved into anger to his person." Have you been there? Have you been in a chaotic situation like this? The kind of situation that you didn't see coming? Everything in life seemed to be going fine, and then, bam, the storms of life hit, right? Have you been there? The storms of life come in out of nowhere, and it seems like they just threaten everything. Everything seems to be going smooth, and then just out of nowhere. And if we're not careful, we end up doing the same thing and feeling the same feelings that the disciples felt. We are overcome with fear, and we lash out at Jesus because he is not doing what we think he should be doing. The disciples did that. They were so angry that they rebuked Jesus. So what did Jesus do? This is where the story becomes pretty amazing. He stands up in verse 39 and he speaks to the wind and the waves. He stands up, and I imagine he kind of gets to the edge of the boat, right? And I don't know why, but in my mind, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I can watch the DVD of this scene, right, and see what it looked like for real. But I imagine Jesus, you know, putting his hands out like this, right? And he says, "Peace, be still." That same Dr. Jim that I talked about earlier, he says it's like a parent getting on to their child, right? This is how he imagines it. He says, it's like a parent saying to their child, "Be quiet and sit down," right? This is the kind of authority that Jesus is exercising over the wind and the waves, right? "Peace, be still." I don't hear very many parents saying that to their, you guys can try that out on the way home today, I guess. But he says, "Be quiet and sit down." I heard that a few times growing up, just a few times. So he speaks like a father to their child with that kind of authority. But here's where it gets even more incredible. First of all, it's incredible. I'm sure for the disciples, they're like, "What in the world is this guy doing?" Right? He must have been having a crazy dream. And he gets up and he speaks to the wind and the waves and tells them, "Peace, be still, sit down, be quiet." But the waves and the wind listened. And not only did they listen, they obeyed. Just like that. They just stopped. You know, and I imagine, again, I can't wait till I get to heaven and can see the DVD of this, but you know, the clouds just kind of evaporate, right? The sun comes through, and probably it's one of those where like the perfect beam comes and lights up Jesus on the boat, right? And the birds are suddenly chirping, and the The boat that's rocking back and forth is just suddenly very still, almost eerily still. Now, we could just stop the story right here, and that'd be a very nice way to end the story. That's what a lot of us would probably prefer. But I think we would be missing the point. We would walk away with the wrong idea. It's easy to read this story and say, all right, so if we ask Jesus, he will make all the chaos in my life go away. I know I've been guilty of reading it that way before. And I'm pretty sure I've heard it taught that way before. But I know there have been times in my life where I've prayed and prayed and I've asked and I've believed with all my might that Jesus would take away a specific chaos in my life. And for whatever reason, he didn't. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. A storm in your life that Jesus did not say, peace, be still. A storm that he didn't calm in your life. And don't get me wrong, Jesus has quieted many storms in my life. And I don't doubt his ability to do so. But I've come to realize that that's not what this story is about. That's not the message to walk away from. To walk away with this ideology would be to reduce Jesus to some kind of mystical genie that grants us wishes when we are in trouble. Right? Some kind of deity that we can keep in our pocket, that when the waves get to rocking us a little too much and the storm hits out of nowhere, we can just whip Jesus out and say, hey, take care of this for me. And that's not what we're trying to learn here this morning. The lesson that we need to learn today, the lesson that the disciples learned on that boat, is that Jesus is much more than that. Jesus does only what the Lord God is capable of. You know, the Old Testament is full of examples of God controlling weather. Lance read one of those this morning in his call to worship out of Psalms. It was an ancient tradition for the Jewish people that bad weather represented brokenness and chaos in the world. And only God could control it. Only God could do anything about it. Only the God who spoke all of creation into existence could tell a storm to be still. And so when Jesus calms the storm with his words, the disciples do the math and realize that no man could do this. They've seen him perform miracles. But up to this point, they had not seen anything like this. This is different. This is a whole nother level. They hadn't seen him do something quite yet that only God could do. And so they start to ask some questions and start to do the math. But first, Jesus asks a couple of questions to help us see what the story is all about. In verse 40, he starts by saying, why are you so afraid? And this one seems pretty straightforward. If Jesus, who you believe to be the Messiah, if he has done all these incredible things in your presence, then what do you have to worry about? Even if the chaos of the storms upon you comes suddenly and the situation is out of your control, if Jesus is in the boat with you, what do you really have to fear? But the second question he really teaches the disciples with is, have you still no faith? After all they've seen and experienced, why do they still not trust him? Alan Culpepper, I think I'm saying that right, says that this is the implication here. The fearful have no faith, and the faithful have no fear. I want you guys to remember that this morning. The fearful have no faith, and the faithful have no fear. What he means by that is faith is not something that if you believe and if you wish hard enough, it will happen. That type of faith belongs with that same genie Jesus that we mentioned before. Shattuck says that real faith is a leap into light, right? It's not a leap into darkness. It's not just hoping and wishing that maybe things will work out. It's leaping into something that you can be confident in, leaping into something that you can know and trust. Real faith is looking around at the storm that I'm facing and saying, I may not understand why this is happening. I may not understand everything about Jesus, but I do understand and I do know at least this, that God is God and I am not. There are some things that only God can do. And if God says that he is doing something, I'm going with him, even if it makes no sense to me. If God calms the storm in my life, that's great. That's what I want. That's what I wish for. That's what I pray for. That God would calm all the storms in my life and they would calm all the storms in your life. But if he chooses not to, that's fine too, because I'm with him. Because I trust him. He is God and I am not. That's faith. That's leaping into light. So where in this text did God say that he was going to do something? It's at the very beginning in verse 35. It's easy to miss. He says, "Let us go across to the other side." The disciples did not have the faith they needed to trust that if Jesus said, "We're going to the other side," then they would make it to the other side. Dennis Nineham says that Jesus' ability to sleep peacefully and untroubled is a sign of perfect trust and the sustaining protective power of God. Remember, the fearful have no faith and the faithful have no fear. So we have to ask ourselves if we believe that God is faithful. When the storms of life come and God chooses not to quiet them, will we trust him to keep us going? Will we have faith that he will give us the strength to make it through, that he will sustain us? Augustine reminds us that we must remember his presence. He is in the boat with us, and if he is with us, we will make it. We're going to talk about verse 41 a little bit later as we prepare to move to the table. But I want us to dwell on this challenge for now. This morning, we are all on a boat. Some of us are facing clear and calm waters. There are no storms on the horizon, but we need to be ready because they are coming. Some of us are in the middle of terrible storms today, or we are recovering from one. We find ourselves facing chaotic situations that we are helpless in. So the challenge for us this morning is, will we have this faith? A faith that says, God is God, and if he says, I will make it through this storm, then I will. Will we have the faith to say, if God called me to do this, then it doesn't matter what obstacles I face, I will trust him to see me through? Or will you become fearful and frustrated with the storms? Will you lash out in anger to God for not doing what you feel like he should be doing? The fearful have no faith, and the faithful have no fear. Today, I want to implore you to trust God enough to step away from your fear and hold on to your faith. Get in your boat, and as the storms come, trust that if God says you'll make it, that you will. Or if you see someone else who's in a boat and they're facing their storms, maybe what you need to do is climb into their boat today and remind them that God is with them. He's in the boat with them. And if he says that they'll make it through, then they will. The fearful have no faith, and the faithful have no fear. If you need prayers of encouragement today, if you'd like to be baptized to receive the Spirit that gives us that strength that we need to persevere and make it through those storms, that will carry you through and see you through, sustain you, I want to invite you to come now as we come and Nathan leads us in another song.
Stand and sing.